Following the recent murder of US political figure Charlie Kirk, there are growing concerns about the rise in online extremism and radicalisation leading to violence. Kirk's suspected killer is a 22-year-old man who US authorities have said frequented online communities such as Discord and made reference to various internet subcultures on bullet casings found at the scene. Maeve Groom asked Dr. Imogen Edwards, senior lecturer in criminology and member of the AVERT Research Network at Deakin University, just why these online spaces have a growing reputation for users who harbour extremist ideologies.
So I think gaming communities can help to feed radicalisation in a few ways. Particularly spaces like Discord are sort of occupied by sort of gaming active communities as well as sort of more, I guess, generalist kind of alt-tech platforms like Reddit and so on, can actually lower the entry point for susceptible audiences. Often people don't have to be seeking out explicitly sort of extremist politics to actually encounter those ideas. They're sort of woven into those subcultural spaces already.
How does this radicalisation actually happen online? Is this purely through communication with other people, or are there other things happening on the internet that are influencing young people in particular?
It's rarely just a case of just a single conversation, really. It is that kind of weaving through popular culture, often sort of countercultural spaces as well, on various types of sort of less mainstream social media platforms where sort of ideas which are pretty extreme in terms of their sort of supremacist and exclusionary elements can actually be seeded or sort of floated in sort of more light and humorous ways. And that sort of gives the people who are producing that media a kind of a plausible deniability as well, that it is actually as extreme as it is, but it nevertheless works to normalise some of those views. So I think the role of humour is really important, and also those online communities in particular can be really important. Well, because a factor that they do tap into sometimes is this countercultural community space, but also the sort of isolation and sense of atomisation, we sometimes say, that can be associated with spending a lot of time online and sort of fewer time interacting with peers offline.
And in the recent murder of US political figure Charlie Kirk, the suspected killer is a 22-year-old man who US authorities have said frequented online communities such as Discord and made reference to various internet subcultures within gaming. My question would be, why are young men in particular more susceptible to extremist influence within these online communities?
Young men particularly can be kind of vulnerable as well to some of these extreme supremacist or exclusionary or violent messages. And this is sometimes the case because a lot of society, wider society, is kind of told young men, particularly young white men, and particularly in affluent countries, even if not particularly affluent communities, are sort of told that they should be achieving certain things and have certain, resources and status easily accessible to them. And if they don't have that, then they are more inclined to think that there's something sort of systematically wrong or prejudicing against them. And that's as well because of the normalisation. If we're talking about the far right and the sort of manosphere there, the sort of societal normalisation that men, and particularly men, you know, of a certain demographic, should really be at the top of those hierarchies. So that's one part. There's also sort of a sense of fraternity and achievement, which can be achieved through things like gaming communities and also alternative spaces as well, which can feed those, again, quite popular sort of countercultural community appeals as well.
Is anything being done to moderate these online communities to minimise the violence and extremism we have seen lately? Are these companies and platforms able to intervene to stop radicalisation in its tracks?
So there have been some examples of interventions. So, for example, Discord, a popular sort of gaming discussion, gaming community platform, banned basically neo-Nazi-themed servers or sort of chat forums, as they're called, servers on that forum after the events of Charlottesville, which saw sort of a mass kind of extreme right rally in the US, culminate in the murder of a counter-protester. So we do see explicit crackdowns like that. Reddit has also shut down sort of hate-based subreddits. YouTube has tightened its rules as well. So there are moderation efforts from the platforms themselves. There are also conventions as well in different parts of the world which sort of seek to regulate cyber crime, but also sort of extremist cyber activities as well. And they kind of set frameworks that then national governments can choose to implement. Particularly problematic or tricky issue with some of these particularly far-right spaces is what we call the peripatetic nature of the internet. So that's sort of the factor that servers can jump from one locality to another, and that's actually across national borders as well, such as to try to find sort of lax frameworks. So a lot of hate sites as well can tend to be hosted in, for example, the US, and that's in part related to its free speech, I suppose, freedom of political expression, protections in the US Constitution.
Dr. Imogen Richards, Senior Lecturer in Criminology and member of the AVERT Research Network at Deakin University, speaking there with Maeve Groom.